Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point, which is being recorded just before Christmas. And right now we're going to talk with Dr. Alvin Schmidt, who's a retired professor of sociology. He's also the author of two very important books to highlight. One is on the impact of Christianity. It really is very similar to a book I wrote with D. James Kennedy before his book came out, by the way. Now, our book was called What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? But his book was initially called Under the Influence and then later changed to How Christianity Changed the World. There's another book, and this is the one I want to highlight in light of what's happening in America, where all these Muslims are starting to come in and there's assimilation questions and issues. That second book I want to focus on is The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam, and the Triumph of the West. Dr. Alvin Schmidt, thank you so much for joining us. Great to have you on again.
Well, thank you.
And Merry Christmas to you.
And likewise, and a blessed new year following it.
Okay, now, the impact of Jesus on this planet has been enormous. Implied, in one sense, in your subtitle here, The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam, and the Triumph of the West, implied is that Jesus is a major, major figure behind the success of the West. Is that an overstatement?
No, it's the teachings of Jesus, quite right, is what changed the world, and, and is now being sort of unchanged by the secular, pagan, atheistic forces.
That is so true. By the way, I have to admit, as a retired professor of sociology, there are not many born-again Christians among sociologists.
That's an overstatement, almost, you might say. I mean an understatement.
Yeah.
True. And it's become worse in terms of sociology basically being basically true of all the behavioral sciences. Psychologists know better, anthropologists know better either, in terms of, they've all become neo-Marxist in the last 20 years or so.
Yeah.
Now, the last few years of my college teaching, I resigned from my professional societies, basically primarily the major ones, and it's a not the organization I joined when I first became involved in teaching sociology in college, because they've all become neo-Marxist and promoting pro-homosexual agendas, and that's basically it. In my day when I went to UU, they were liberal, to be sure, and they weren't all in favor of Christianity, but they didn't have a specific ideology to confront it as they do now.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And particularly nowadays with political correctness, you know, back in 97, I published another book, was called Multicultural Trojan Horse in America.
That's amazing you should say that. I've got written right down in front of me, The Myth of Multiculturalism. And in fact, let's take this time to really talk about that, because you have this idea so prevalent in Western culture now that all cultures are equal. And implied in that is a denigration of the Judeo-Christian heritage, which really what made this country and the West in general great.
Well, it's an example of relativism having gone amok. And hence, every culture is equal. Good grief. I mean, these people obviously are living in a dream world. If you know any history, you don't know that the culture, take the Aztec culture, for example, that I talk about in that book, how they used to annihilate people and ritualistically and so on and so forth, pull out their hearts until the Europeans, so-called bad conquistadors, invaded the country. Well, it stopped as a result of that. And you can point out numerous cultures whose values are basically totally self-annihilating even. And so all cultures being equal, it doesn't even make common sense, but that's what we're peddling. And it's ultimately an example of the West unwittingly committing suicide, because you cannot have, it's at best a utopian dream that our cultures are equal.
Yeah.
Because, I often used to tell my students, the word utopia, most people sort of define it as, well, an unreal world that doesn't exist. Well, the Greeks knew that. Hence, the word utopia comes from two Greek words, ouk, which means not or nothing, and topos means place, from which we get the word topology. Mm-hmm. And so the Greeks, when they said utopia, ouk topos, they're saying there is no such place.
Right.
Yeah. And yet we dream as though there were. And even Thomas More's book, Utopia, that was basically a satire on the whole concept. But we still have not learned the lesson. And then, you know, as the old saying goes, if you don't learn from the past, you'll repeat the mistakes all over again.
Sure. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now our guest is Dr. Alvin Schmidt, a retired professor of sociology and author of a few very important books, including How Christianity Changed the World, and also The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam, and The Triumph of the West. Okay, let's focus on The Great Divide. What is the failure of Islam?
Well, for example, first of all is that if you compare Jesus and Muhammad, they're polar opposites in terms of what they taught, in terms of what they did. And, of course, Islam followed the teachings, the nefarious, demonic teachings, I would even say, of Muhammad. And so you have, for example, you no longer, as Christianity teaches, conquer by the sword of the spirit. Now you conquer by the scimitar of steel, as I put it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, scimitar is the Arabic symbol, curved symbol of a sword.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly how Islam has advanced its cause. Shortly after Muhammad died in 632, within less than two decades, they had conquered all of the Levant, so to speak, the northern shores part of Africa, and by 711, they conquered all of Spain and most of Portugal and existed there for almost 800 years until Queen Isabella and her husband Ferdinand expelled them. That horrible example, as historians like to say, well, it wasn't a horrible example. They finally recovered after 800 years what they should never have let happen in the first place. And it was also interesting, for example, shortly after they had conquered Spain, they moved up farther north into what we today call France, in those days was called Gaul, and tried to conquer that portion and failed at the battle of, well, the British call it the Battle of Tours and the French call it the Battle of Poitiers in 732, where Charles the Hammer beat the Muslims. But had he failed in that attempt, as Edward Gibbons in his two volumes of the Rise and Decline and the Fall of the Roman Empire indicates, for example, that had Charles the Hammer, as it is often called, or Charles Martel in the Latin, would have failed, there would never have been a cathedral in all of Europe, because from there they would have proceeded and conquered the rest of Europe. But fortunately they failed. However, today they're again advancing their cause by means of terrorism and massive invasion and high birth rate, vis-a-vis the very low birth rate in the Western world, which is about 1.4 at best, which is below even replenishing yourself. And so the Muslims today now occupy roughly 10% of France, about 5%, 4 to 5% in Germany, and we don't know how much it's going to raise with all those Syrian refugees coming into Germany. Now, it's going to obviously raise that figure by a substantial amount, about 4 to 5% in England. And if the present trend continues, Europe will probably be Muslim within 15 or 20 years.
Wow. And people don't realize the full implications of that. But when Islam has dominance, then freedom goes. Freedom goes. And it's so funny because in this country, the liberals seem to see Christianity as more of a threat than radical Islam. And yet those liberals need to realize you're number one on the list, you know, when the Muslims take over, for them to execute you. Hello?
There's a tremendous amount of inconsistency, and sometimes I think the hatred the left has for Christianity overwhelms even the most obvious things that glare in their face. For example, You see on television the veiled women wearing burqas and whatnot. The women, for example, even in Saudi Arabia, are not permitted, for example, to drive an automobile, have a driver's license, not allowed to do anything that the West does. And yet, these are so-called values that the left in this country wants to have. But at the same time, by supporting Islam, they are undermining those very practices. And if they, for example, continue to gain more power, that is Islam, eventually there won't be any kind of freedom on their part either. But I argue their hatred of Christianity is so strong that it overwhelms that particular common insight.
Yeah, they're blind.
Or common sense point of view. And so ultimately they continue to advance their cause.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. The cover of your book, The Great Divide, it shows on the one hand a skyscraper, something produced in the West, and on the other hand you see a desert and there's a lowly guy on a camel, and it's a kind of the contrast between the product or the fruit of Christianity and the fruit of Islam. Now, some people would be very offended by that, but how do you come across having the gumption to give such a contrast?
Well, first of all, I have no problem. Obviously, the artist designed that particular cover, and it basically fits, I think, the argument of the book.
I think so, too. I think it summarizes the book. It's an excellent cover.
Most people probably maybe don't even quite get the message in terms of what the cover tries to convey. I don't know, but I think it's quite correct. And, there's so many different things that we don't even hear about in the media. For example, Islam is, to this day, pro-slavery. And even where they, for example, reneged, if I might say, on slavery, it was only because of the might and the force of the West. But even in many African countries to this day, where you have Islam in control, there's slavery. I have had personal friends who have visited different countries in Africa, come back and lived and said, we were served by slaves.
Yeah, I personally have interviewed a slave. His name was Francis Bach, B-O-K, and he escaped. But he was in Sudan and was a Christian from a Christian home and was captured and was a slave for several years. By the way, he told me that they used to beat the children even of the slave owners would beat him. This is in our lifetime. This is within the last 20 years or so. The children would beat him and call him Abid, Abid. And it turns out that the word for black person is the same word in Arabic for the word slave.
Yes.
The same word, Abid.
Yes.
That is astounding. And yet, Christianity allowed for slavery 500 years ago. And that's a shameful chapter. But look, make no mistake about it. It was Christianity through people like William Wilberforce that got slavery stopped. It's very important to realize. And an important Bible reader, Lincoln, who loved the Bible and tried to, put its precepts into practice, he helped get slavery stopped. It's an astounding thing, though, that the left doesn't give Christianity the credit due, and they have a blind eye towards Islam, and you brought out the treatment of the women, and, I suppose somebody could say, I think women are fine. Everybody should own one. I'm just kidding, but that's the kind of mentality, whereas Christianity, not always practiced, of course, there have been situations where pastors have beaten their wives, and that's just absolutely shameful. But on the main, Christianity has elevated the status of women, as you well know. In fact, you could comment on that if you would.
Yes, exactly. And, for example, take the Quran. In the fourth surah, or chapter, if you will, it talks about a husband should beat his wife if she doesn't listen to what he wants her to do. It's very, very clear. Surah 434 is the passage. And one of the things I often argue when our politically correct individuals, it doesn't matter what government it is, whether it's in a European country or even in our own, even when George W. Bush was, Islam is a religion of peace, I say, I can only draw one of two conclusions. Number one, you have either never read the Quran or you're lying. If you read the Quran, there are over 100 violent passages directed against the infidel, and that is you and me, who are Christians primarily, or Jews as well. Anybody that isn't a Muslim is an infidel or an unbeliever. And there are over 100 violent passages, by the way, all in the present tense, not in the past tense. And let me just read you a couple. For example, people often never, media never tell you this. And just a second here, I had it here a moment ago. And
okay, we're talking with Dr. Alvin Schmidt, and we're winding down in our conversation, but he's written a book called The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West. Okay, do you have the verse?
Yeah, okay, here, I found the passage here quick.
We're going to have to close with this. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Here's one from the chapter 8 surah, verse 12. I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. You, that's me. Therefore, strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them. End of quote. Yeah. Here's another one from Surah 2. So when the sacred months have passed away, then slay the idolaters wherever you find them and take them captive and besiege them and lie in wait for them in every ambush. End of quote.
Yeah.
Still another. O you who believe, referring to Muslims, fight those of the unbelievers who are near you, and let them find in you hardness, and know that Allah is with those of you who do so. Another one, fight them. Allah will punish them by your hands, bring them to disgrace, and assist you against them, and heal the hearts of the believing people. End of quote. One more I'll give you. And if you are slain in the way of Allah, or die, certainly forgiveness from Allah and mercy is better than that what they amass. End of quote. This is the passage that motivates these terrorists. Even so, if you are slain, as recently the man and his wife were, well, it says that, for example, certainly there is forgiveness from Allah for what you have done.
Yeah, wow.
That's Islam.
Yeah, that is such a contrast. And as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we should remember that he alone is the Savior. Hey, thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Alvin Schmidt. Again, the name of that book is The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam.
Available on Amazon.com.
And The Triumph of the West at Amazon.com and wherever books are sold. Thank you, sir. God bless.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.